A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples set off for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise up after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have to share my big news with you. I got a part in a play.
Hey.
It's the play, it's called Harvey. It's about the guy who claims he sees a 6-foot rabbit. Looks a little like Father Toad. No. It's a wonderful play. Now everyone thinks this poor guy's crazy because he sees things that they don't. And all I can say to you is, you'd be crazy if you didn't come and see this show at the Surfside Theater, 2:00 today, and next weekend, the last weekend. In our gospel, people think that Jesus is a bit crazy. Peter takes him aside and basically rebukes him, saying, "What are you talking about? Are you losing it?" Because Jesus sees something that Peter, and be honest, all the other people, the Jewish people who were expecting the Messiah, did not see. Jesus saw that the Messiah that he was called to be, the Christ in Greek, was to be that suffering servant we heard about in the first reading. The reaction that that Jesus has to Peter is very strong. He basically says, "Get behind me, Satan." Because what's happening here is that same temptation that Jesus had when he was in the desert, when Satan came to him and tempted him. And one of the temptations was to go up on top of the parapet and look out and, "I'll give you all the power in this world." That worldly power. And that's what the expectation was for the Messiah. A worldly, political, military power that would drive the hated Romans out of Israel. Peter got the right answer. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. But he had the wrong understanding. That's why Jesus is always telling the people, especially in the Gospel of Mark, don't tell anybody. But they're all like my brother-in-law. He says, it's not me who can't keep a secret, it's the person I tell it to. And eventually the secret that this is the Messiah gets out, to the point where the people come and they want to take Jesus and make him be their king, and he has to flee. Jesus asked this question to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And in those times, there was many misconceptions about the Messiah, as there is today. Who is this Jesus? Who is Jesus for us? I had my eyes open a little bit in the last week. My wife has started taking this new course that's being offered on Just Faith. Excellent materials. And she gets to do all the work. I get to read all her books. And this is one called The Powers That Be. And it's written by a seminary professor, Walter Wink. And he offers some amazing insights into Jesus' teaching that reveal who Jesus is and who Jesus was in those times. We all know that Jesus was not a violent person. But sometimes the misconception is, well, if he wasn't using violence and force, he sort of was this kind of submissive, passive person. And Jesus was anything but passive. He always resisted evil, but he never gave evil back in response to evil or violence to violence. This Walter Wink, in his book, shows what he calls is that Jesus taught a third way between violence and passive submission. He takes three of Jesus' teachings that we have heard so many times, and he really unpacks them, I think, in a wonderful way. The first is, if anyone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other as well. He explains that in that time, Jesus' time, the Jews were not able to use their left hand only for what were considered unclean tasks, and for some reason, hitting someone wasn't unclean. So the only way a Jew could hit somebody is they had to use their right hand. But to hit someone with your right hand on the right cheek, the only way you can do it is a backslap. Now, a backslap is symbolic. It's meant not so much to hurt someone as it is to humiliate. It was an insult. It was used to put people who were getting upstarts back in their place, especially those who were oppressed. Masters could backslap their slaves, husbands their wives, parents their children, Romans the Jews. But by turning the other cheek, the whole equation has changed. It's kind of like if you tell a bad joke once and no one laughs, telling it a second time isn't going to help. Did you hear the one about it takes the power out of it? Because by turning the left cheek to the oppressor, the person who's being hit levels the playing field. Because in a fight, you use your right hand, you can only hit someone on your left cheek. But a fair fight was only between equals. The left cheek can only be a target for that right fist. And it becomes not an act of passive submission, but an act of resistance to an unjust power, but without using violence, not returning evil for evil. By turning the cheek, the inferior person is saying, I am a human being just like you. This quote-unquote cheeky behavior is a nonviolent response to evil. Gandhi taught that the first principle of nonviolent action is that of non-cooperation with anything that is humiliating. And there is a power in nonviolence. Think of Rosa Parks on the bus, who just didn't want to be humiliated and moved to the back of the bus. This was a power that Gandhi and the Indian people used against the British Empire to gain their independence. Think back to the early 1980s, the fall of the Soviet Empire, with no violence, but people willing to stand nonviolently in front of the tanks, many with their only protection being the icon of Mary. Turning a cheek does not mean let a batterer beat you more without resisting. Jesus is not calling us to be masochists. And too often, this is the false interpretation, especially for those who are battered, spouses or children. But Jesus teaches neither cowardly submission nor nonviolent reprisal. Jesus teaches, according to Professor Wink, a third way. It's the way of the suffering servants that we heard from the prophet Isaiah this morning. I gave my back to them who beat me, my cheek to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spit. Walter Wink also shows how Jesus' teaching on going the second mile is an example of this third way. In those days, the Roman soldiers could conscript people to do tasks, like Simon the Cyrene to carry Jesus' cross, or oftentimes they'd have them carry their equipment. But there was a rule in the Roman military code that you couldn't conscript a person to carry something more than 1 mile, or the soldier would get in trouble. So by going the second mile, people who were under a military occupation were resisting, but resisting nonviolently. For a suffering servant or for a true disciple of Christ, the cross is not forced on us, but we are asked to pick it up voluntarily. If we choose to follow Jesus' third way, we learn to live in this world, but not by the world's standards. We lay down our lives. As we remember this past year, the 8th anniversary of 9/11, when all the people were fleeing the World Trade Center, those first responders and firefighters who were giving themselves to save others, who were rushing into the building. The third example that Professor Wink uses is Jesus teaching, if your debtor wants your cloak, give him your coat as well. If someone is bleeding you, basically wants the shirt off your back, Jesus says, give it to him. Because in those days, just as it is today, indebtedness was a big plague. The Jewish tradition deals with it with a year of Jubilee, which we are going to hear a lot more about, especially on our year of Jubilee we celebrate. Sister Immaculata will kick us off this Wednesday night. But here, Jesus in this teaching is telling an impoverished debtors who have nothing but the clothes on their backs to use an unjust system against itself. Being naked in Jewish society was a taboo, but shame fell on the one viewing it, and especially on the one causing it, more on the one who went without clothes. So a way to shame someone who was bleeding the poor was to say, okay, you've taken everything, take this too. We have gone in with several churches helping issues in our area, Congregations for Community Action, and they sponsored a workshop for people facing foreclosure on their homes, and brought in a lawyer who gave some tips on what to do if you get that letter, you know, you have to leave your home. Talk about an unjust system. These finance companies who were pushing these subprime loans on folks, and now they're trying to kick the people out of their homes, caused all this economic problem, and then wind up giving themselves big bonuses. We're talking about injustice. But using this third way to resist it, this lawyer suggested, you know, ask the mortgage company for the original copy of your mortgage. Because these finance companies have sold and resold and bundled and done all these crazy finagling things with mortgages that most of them cannot produce the original mortgage. So just because you get a letter in the mail, you have to leave, you don't have to leave. The poor do have rights. You'll have another one of these workshops on September 23rd if you know anyone in this situation. Jesus' spirituality is for this world. It's a this world spirituality. Jesus is teaching us how to be disciples here if we truly understand who he is and who he calls us to be. If we choose to be Jesus' disciples, we will suffer. Anytime you go up against an evil power or evil empire, it will strike back. But suffering, we do not seek it for its own sake, but it's a result of standing up for what is right and resisting evil. Jesus showed us that suffering can be turned into redemption. And part of it was even to redeem the oppressor, the one who is doing the slapping. Gandhi used nonviolent resistance to the British Empire to convert the English, to see the errors of colonialism. Lord knows the Irish have been trying to teach the English that for centuries. The suffering servant we heard of and we saw in Jesus was spit on. But as we heard in last Sunday's gospel, Jesus even took spit and healed the deaf man. Suffering can sensitize us so that we are more aware of the needs of others, especially in our suffering world. If we choose to follow Jesus, we will suffer too. But through suffering, as Father Tobin mentioned, we don't need to become bitter. We can become better. And our world can be freed from Satan's grip. Let us now move to join our suffering Savior at the banquet of the Eucharist. And let us partake of his broken, crushed body, so that we might be renewed, so we can go out into our broken and suffering world and make a difference.